Welcome to the OCRWC podcast. Today I'm joined by pro athlete Ryan Kempson. OCRWC 2022 saw him on the podium multiple times, and 2023 has been an incredible year for him so far, taking the Savage Pro Series by storm. We catch up to chat performance, OCR, the future of the sport, and just life in general. Hey Ryan, welcome to the OCRWC podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining me. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, and things are busy for both of us, it seems, so it's kind of been hard to schedule, but I'm very interested to hear what is going on with you lately, because you have been having a pretty great year, a busy year, and then recently it seems there's been a few issues with... Let's kind of start from OCRWC last year, because that was a really good week for you performance wise, and kind of take it from that.
That was a great love that venue. I grew up in Vermont. It's only, you know, less than an hour from my house, so family can be there, and it feels like home. The best part is you don't have to travel to get to it. You know, very, very used to the terrain and the climate. Very fortunate. Past couple of years, it's been in Stratton. You know, in the past, that time of year, it can be snowing. So we've had some pretty remarkable weather past few years. But it's been a great event. It's been a really fun competition that showed up. And it was a lot of fun last year.
I hadn't had a chance to go to that location before, because for the NORAM, I wasn't able to go. And then 21, because of COVID, I wasn't allowed in. So I was really happy to get to go to Vermont last year. I flew into Boston. That was in itself so exciting. And then, yeah, driving through, even though it was kind of dark, I got so overexcited. And it was such a beautiful location, and the colors and everything. Adrian is a big fan of fall, so he kept saying, he's like, wait until you see the fall colors, it's amazing. And it was beautiful. So you're very lucky to have grown up around there. It's
You take it for granted. When I was a kid, I used to hate fall. I tied it to end and dying and things going away. But after I moved away from kind of the mountains for 10 years, and grew to appreciate it. Now I love this. It's probably my favorite time of year. So to experience that in Stratton is amazing. Great venue with, as you experienced, you know, the festival areas, they got a little like kind of town square in the resort. A lot of people stay right there, and it just makes it, brings a lot of energy to the venue.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's interesting. I had that conversation with someone today. We were talking about autumn and spring, kind of like how summer and winter kind of suck because they're always just a bit too much. But the transitions, the changes, even though autumn kind of is things ending and dying, it's those transitions and the kind of renewing seasons that, I don't know, people seem to find their favorites.
And... yeah, I thought I wanted to move down south when I was a kid. I didn't realize how much I love the change, and not everything's great, but it makes you appreciate each season a lot more, which is, it's rewarding. It's just, you're constantly feeling gratitude at certain times of the year.
Yeah. Well, you're sitting in front of a huge window, and I just saw a very beautiful blue sky with white fluffy clouds. I don't know where you currently are, but it is incredible.
Yeah. So that's our house, our living room. It's nice. It's blue now, but we've had ridiculous amounts of rain. either it's hotter than hell, or literally monsoons. So it's been pretty extreme the past month.
I mean, it's exactly the same here in the UK. I'm in the north of England. Last night was, I think it was about 23 degrees during the night trying to sleep, which is hot in England. And today you can see I'm wrapped up in a massive jumper because it's really cold and it's been raining all day. So God knows what's going on with the weather. It's going to make interesting events coming up. But so you've got a little carpenter's pencil behind your ear. You've been busy because you've been. Yeah. I love it. I used to have one when I was I loved hammering wood together, and my mum bought me one, and it reminds me of being a child. You're doing a lot of work on the house yourself, aren't you?
I am. So I built this house I'm in now, and I'm building a house for my mom. It was actually part of the deal when I first started racing seriously. I had stopped coaching in person full time. Still do it online, but I start renovating a house, and that allowed me the free time to train and you know, work and make money at the and after he flipped the house. I grew up in construction carpentry. My dad was a framer, and then he was a cabinet maker. We had a shop in our backyard growing up, so learned all the skills. And the big thing is, even when I was you know, in the gym a lot coaching, I never felt the same strength and fitness that I did when I was a kid. So like part of the deal going to racing almost full time was I wanted to be strong, and I didn't know any better way to do that than just kind of get back and be outside all day and carry stuff and use my body, because I didn't do well. Even when you work in a gym, you still there's a lot of desk time, computer time, and that didn't suit me too well.
It's so hard to combat that sitting down time. I do a lot of sitting down, as do a lot of people. When I had a period where I worked in an office and then I started working more outside and I was on my feet all the time, I think I grew about an inch. And I was like, it must be because I'm just not sitting down all the time, so my spine isn't so compacted. But even when you put the effort in, it's very, very hard to combat that amount of being sedentary. I worded that badly, but you know what I mean? Like, it kind of has to be a natural part of life. And I can't really imagine you sitting down and being inside too much.
I've never stopped.
Didn't see you. Well, I mean, having seen what you've done with the house there, you know, I've seen some of your stories and posts on Instagram, but it's pretty incredible. Like,
appreciate it.
It's a huge skill to have.
Yeah, I definitely took that for granted as a kid. I probably should have went into building construction right out of school. But I didn't. And ever since COVID and kind of the situation the sport is in with diminishing opportunities, you gotta make a living somehow. So luckily I'm still not working for anybody else. I probably won't ever do that. So I'm fortunate to be able to work for myself and still have the free time. But definitely a mindset has changed over the summer, even though racing's been going well. You know, those opportunities aren't there like they used to be. And I find myself getting up and focusing more on and getting excited about building and figuring out what's going on with work rather than figuring out what I have to do for training.
I mean, it's good to have different phases in life. I personally went straight into the industry that I'd always loved as a child, which was fashion, sewing. I loved sewing. Fashion is weird. But I love sewing. And that's what I trained in and I went into straight from school. And actually, I didn't enjoy it as a career, but I'm glad I did it, because otherwise I would have had a regret and thought I should have done that. But, you know, maybe doing it this way around is the best way for you, because now you appreciate it. Maybe if you'd done it straight then, you would have gone, oh, I should have done this that I wanted to and I didn't. And
no, you're right. I'd probably just be drinking a lot of beer and smoking cigarettes if I went straight into construction. I'm not kidding.
And it kind of suits an OCR athlete as well to be multifaceted. Like, it's OCR is a combination of so many different things, isn't it? So it makes sense to, hey, I do construction, I'm also an athlete. Like, people have a variety of stuff that really sparks them when they do this, and it works. It seems to work, and maybe it's a certain type of person that likes a sport because we like the variety. Who knows?
Yeah, it's definitely, the variety matters. We get caught up in the endurance a lot, but you know, I think it, I've always believed it plays a pretty big role, and having that different skill set to kind of just take on everything. But, you know, we've also, you know, on that, that dynamic ability to do a bunch of different tasks, also hasn't, like, you know, the U.S. has always been the spotlight for OCR, and with Spartan being prevalent, that wide range of ability hasn't always shined completely. And I think now we're starting to see, you know, Savage and OCR World is becoming more attended by some of the top athletes, and some of the other world obstacle going on. You're starting to see, you know, people with a much more varied fitness excel.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, talking of Savage, you've had an incredible year this year. Savage have been very well received this year for some of the developments they've had, and just the way they've listened to athletes. I've been doing the commentary for the Savage races, so I've seen kind of as it's happening what's going on, and it just looks brilliant. You have been incredibly successful so far at Savage, which is great, and it's been wonderful to watch. But they do look like good races, and what I really, really enjoy about them is how they, you know, they have their obstacles and they change them up each time. So even though they have a set list of obstacles, it's not just like, oh, we're going to see the same 10. It feels like a nice way of making it, I'm going to use the term regulated, even though I don't like that, but you kind of know what you're going to get, but you don't always know what you're going to get. And just mixing it up and the order and that swim.
They throw little things in. The terrain they use is underrated, because what you see on the video a lot, a lot of those venues, a couple of them are dead flat, but they put us through a lot of mud and streams and water. And on your point of the bulk legend of obstacles have that they pull from each race, and it varies with the terrain. It doesn't let anybody to get in a rhythm. I mean, you have to be fast and good at the obstacles, but I think that's why I've always done well at it, is I can kind of just take a race as it comes. You know, there's always some sort of plan going in, but when you run Savage or OCR, WC, that plan always changes, because just there's a little thing here or there that breaks rhythm that you have to think about. And I enjoy that part, but I enjoy not just, I know a lot of people are big on, you know, it being a fitness test, which I guess is endurance. But I think we overlook the ability to adapt and think. And I come from team and ball sports, where, you know, focus and the ability to think on the fly is all you're doing. So it's refreshing to have at least a little bit of that in the sport.
Mm. I mean, that's kind of, yeah, that is one of the beauties of OCR. It's a course can change day to day based on the weather, let's say, or can change across the course of a day. But it's interesting you say, I've never really thought about that. And I'm not, when you say like have a plan, if I were to think about it, I'd be like, I am going into this race to run as well as I can and get to the end. Like, that's as far as I would have a plan. What do you mean by having a plan?
There's a lot of strategy that goes into most of the top athletes, as far as how you start off, where you make moves, as far as putting a hard effort in. And because I mean, the truth of the matter is there's going to be punches thrown back and forth amongst the top athletes, and you got to pick your poison. And sometimes it's worth doing it early and discouraging someone, and you know, maybe they'll break some. But that's also what separates a lot of the top guys I've raced against, you know, especially in recent years, you know, Atkins, Woods, Vijay, you know, they have a dog in them, and they're going to go. If you make a move, they're going to try to make a move back. And at some point, someone's going to break, whether it's fitness or mental. But that was, if you know, it's something I had talked to Sean Roberts about, actually, when he was racing. I mean, the kid is unbelievably talented. He's more talented, I think, than any of us. But he, I think he was still applying the mindset of racing, you know, track and field or cross country, whatever he ran, where, you know, it's kind of just in rhythm. You run hard from the start and, you know, that's it. You know, the best athlete wins, but that's not really what OCR was. And I'm super stoked for him this year because he's been able to learn through racing more of that. You know, if you get left behind from the start, that doesn't mean the race is over. And little things like cutting in front of someone and, you know, right before an obstacle and, you know, taking their path or their lane and making them move over to the side. You know, Sean doesn't let me do that anymore. But, you know, that's also what's led to a lot of, you know, little shrugs and elbows thrown in races, which is all in good spirit. But, yeah, there's a lot more strategy to racing than I think a lot of people understand.
Right, sounds it. I mean, the two of you as well, you've had a great competition between the two of you across the Savage events that have happened, which must be a lot of fun for you. You know, if you're a competitive person, it must be nice to be challenged.
It is. I'm glad it's in the Savage venue. You know, that's why I started racing it 2-3 years ago, is that they're just good people. You know, they're putting on a good race. They pay you.
Nice.
All the above. And partially it's easy for me to get to. You know, I feel bad for the athletes on the West Coast or overseas. You can't really get out to them. But, you know, I think for a year, a lot of people thought I may have been ducking some of the competition, but, I just was trying to bring it over to Savage, and I'm so glad Sean showed up. So glad VJ showed up early the year. Ryland showed up a couple times. Hosek's come out. Leon's come over.
Yeah, there's been some really good competition in both the men's and the women's. But the men's has had quite a lot of variety. It's been really exciting. And yeah, races aren't going to get popular unless there is competition. So yeah, it's. I think that's a strange criticism for people to have given, because if you're going to an event and performing, well, that's your prerogative anyway, but also it's going to encourage the event to grow. And why wouldn't you go to an event where you can perform? But I would expect you to find it more enjoyable if there's someone there that can kind of push you and compete against, which is what you've had.
It's been good to have the athletes there. It's really awesome to have everybody and show up in that. The Poconos Spartan 3K event. I think probably the most competition we've had. These people that were seriously into it in some time, and it just shows like it's still possible for everybody to show up. It's just you know, the motivation. I guess there has to be some sort of intrigue created through Spartan or whatever. I don't know.
It was interesting how many athletes turned up to Poconos, because there's been a few events, and I don't know whether it was location, although I looked at flights to get there and it wasn't that easy for me. And Thomas van Tonder was there, Emmanuel Defoe from South Africa and Switzerland, respectively. So this long journeys, like, I sometimes wonder, I'm like, is there like a hive mind when the athletes decide who's going to turn up to what? Because some events seem empty and some it's everyone's there. And I can never quite work out what it is.
No, I honestly, before a day before, I thought nobody was going to be there. I had no idea we were showing up. So, yeah, that was really cool. It was great. It's nice racing against Thomas and Manuel. It was great, guys. And they originally convinced me to go over to the FISA World Championship. Someday I'll get over to Europe to race.
You should. It's a shame. So you were planning to go to Belgium, but
I was, and then hamstring was bothering me some, which just it doesn't really affect racing. It just affects training. And then I found out there's no prize money, which is fine. I didn't want to be a guinea pig for a race, and I'm not sure how you're going to get a lot of competition next year. If there's no prize purse this year, I just find that to be a challenge. Because I don't care what anybody says. The top competition shows up wherever the money is.
Yeah, I mean, I do think there's a slight difference in Europe and the States in the way things work. In the sense that I think sponsorship is bigger in Europe and prize purses are bonus, a big bonus. And I'm not quite sure why that difference exists, but I do agree there should be a prize purse and it should be as good as the race can do. It's the athletes deserve that for putting the work in.
Well, the sponsorship thing is pretty easy. You know, the problem in the U.S. is the main sports focused on are huge ball sports. That's where companies put money into football, basketball, baseball. And we're such a, you know, such a large country with all sorts of teams. You know, a lot of like a lot of these other companies, like for Leon and for everybody sponsored by Red Bull over there, you know, it's, you know, Red Bull in that country, you know. Red Bull US has a million sports to sponsor, but when you're in a smaller country that doesn't have a, you know, a massive soccer team or basketball team or baseball or all those, thinking could be, that's my opinion. I think that's where it comes
right.
from.
You're absolutely right. Because of course, you know, I mean, there are a lot of great athletes in Denmark, for example, but there's a lot of great athletes in the US and there's more competition, a lot of big sports. Yeah. No, what you're saying makes, it makes perfect sense. I had a little thought in my head there about it as well, but yeah, it's a shame because it encourages the sport to grow. It encourages athletes from, it encourages creativity amongst everything else to support different sports and different athletes. And Red Bull do some really amazing things. To not give those opportunities, it seems like a loss, one, obviously for the athletes, but two, for the brands where they could be pushing out and trying different things. So yeah, of course, you need the payout and it's a long trip to make if there's not going to be a prize purse for you.
Yeah.
Especially with it being the first one. Nobody knows really how it's going to, whether it's even going to be fun enough or something. I don't know. It's a big risk, so I understand that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sucks though. I wish money would exist and we could just have fun. Like, I get really bored of it. It's just like, oh, I can't just do good stuff all the time.
I know, it's so true.
So you're okay with racing. So what's with the hamstring?
It was from going from skiing this winter and not running a lot to racing and March in Georgia at the Savage. It was very, very technical terrain, and I just strained my hamstring. And it was bothering me for a few races, started getting better. And it just, I don't know, being in August, it just took a turn for the worse. And it's probably from working too much on the house. Wearing a belt and not doing the little things, as far as doing deep water exercise that I used to do. Probably not enough specific strength training, because I am just lifting stuff all day, which is great. But, you know, the biggest thing with training at a level you need to compete well at is you have to have the time to do the training, but you have to have the time to rest and do the little things to care for your body. And I think I just was honestly an idiot, even though I preach it to everybody as for coaching, just let things go by the wayside for a little bit, which is unfortunate, but you know, I guess I kind of deserve it.
I mean, that's a strong thing to say, but hopefully it improves. It doesn't cause a long-term issue and it's kind of, you've learned the lesson so it won't happen again in a worse way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be all right long-term. Doing better now, and the nice thing is with these races, we don't have any long races anymore, so you know, a month missed training, that aerobic capacity isn't as needed as it once was, so I think it'll be fine.
So there's still a bit of time left in the Savage series.
Yeah.
What's your plan? I can't remember off the top of my head where you are currently in terms of how many races you've done, but I'm guessing you're gonna do all of the rest of them.
I mean, technically Sean and I are kind of tied, I think, even though we've done different amount of races. He was planning on going to the Texas one, which is the same weekend as OCRWC. So I may show up to that one. It's easy to get to. But more than likely, we'll come down to the last race in Florida in November, which will be exciting. It will be cooled up with now. And I don't know how truthful it is, but I keep hearing people said they're going to show up. I mean, Ryland said he was going to show up again. I think EJ did. Hawk said he was going to show up. I don't know if that actually will come to fruition, but it'd be really cool. It's a cool, that venue is really, it is flat, but there's a lot of like swamp sections where they put you through water and mud. So again, it breaks rhythm. And because it's near their home quarters, they always tend to have more rigs and more of their big signature obstacles there. So it always tends to be like the best race in terms of obstacles.
And it should be. So that final race is it November 11th, something like that? It's that one's mandatory if you want to place in the table. So that means anyone who's kind of in the top 5, 10 will have to be there if they want to be placing. Plus, yeah, it could be pretty cool if a lot of people turn up for the competition. That'll be good fun. I'm heading there myself as well to do the commentary for the final. I don't know if we've announced that yet. I could be, you know, but I'm going to be in the States anyway the weekend before for World's Toughest Mudder. So I was like, how about I just do a road trip from Texas to Florida and meet there, and we'll do it from the event. So that's what we're planning. And then I will give it a go and try my first Savage race, because having watched it and watching what you guys do, I mean, I'm not an athlete and I suck on obstacles, but I love them and find them fun. But it's just looked like so much fun. I'm like, I'll try it. It looks great.
That'll be great.
I'm looking forward to it. It'd be really, really, you know, it's doing the commentary kind of remotely gives so many opportunities to get stuff done and to create commentary without and create coverage without spending an awful lot of money. But you just, it's weird because you're just at home having a cup of tea and you're like, right, well, I'll go downstairs now and turn on my computer. And then you finish and like, well, I'm by myself. All right. It's great, but it doesn't have the same atmosphere as obviously being at the event in person. So I'm really excited. So I hope everyone turns up, because obviously there's going to be a lot of people missing from OCRWC this year. We know that, which is a shame, because I understand it entirely. It's difficult for athletes. It's a long way to travel. The elevation is tough. But from a selfish point of view, I'm going to miss everyone. So
I was actually thinking, the elevation is just no joke. 10 to 12,000 feet. I mean, that's higher than, I think Breckenridge and Aspen were close to that, but they weren't. I mean, there was a national series there, but no championships ever. That's really high. And the detriment to like your performance is significant if you're not there for months ahead of time or have an altitude tent. I was still thinking, because I love that area, running in that area. But it's also hard to get to. There's no close airports.
I'm going to be flying into LAX, which is like a longer drive from Reno, just because the flights from Manchester are almost direct. But I don't know, for me, I'm like, well, it's more travel time, but it's not significantly more travel time than Stratton for me, because by the time I'm in the air, it's a couple of hours extra in the air. And then Reno would be the same drive as Boston to Stratton. And this one, I'm like, it's 2 hours extra, but it's fun because it's California. So it's a huge novelty to me. I'm so excited, but I'm not an athlete who has to travel and perform. So it's different. It's different, but you should come. You really should, because, you know, if performance is affected, that means everyone's performance is affected. So you're all still on an even playing field. You just won't be able to run.
Tyler lives at altitude. VJ lives at altitude if he goes. I assume Ryan's going to be there a couple weeks before, because the Golden Trail, one of the Golden Trail series races is there, and I'm assuming Lindsay, she's doing that. So it won't be an equal play.
valid point. Well, no, yeah, that's fair enough. I can see, yeah, it's difficult. I completely get why people can't make it. But I wish they could, because it's going to be fun. It's going to be.
Mammoth is an awesome place. sure the festival would be great, and be pretty. The mountain, I'm sure, is pretty easy accessible because of how many lifts and stuff they have. So it should be great. I look forward to watching.
Yeah, I hope so. I'm sure it will be. It will be. It'll be different. It'll absolutely be different. I mean, in terms of the women, we've got Nicole's back, and Lindsay will be there, so that'll be interesting. It's tricky at the moment because nobody's quite sure who is turning up, because everyone, you know, people are like, maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm not sure. So we can't really talk about what the competition is going to be like. But I mean, Lindsay's there, so we know that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's tough without having everybody, you know, whether it's Spartan Pro Team contracts or just the sponsors that were involved in an old. You know, athletes just don't have, I guess, the funding to focus, you know, specifically on something, which is, it's a bummer. And that's why I hope next year, you know, at the very least, you know, there happens to be a handful of races that everybody decides, like, this is what I'm going to get ready for no matter what. That depth of competition that we had of the years past.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with the way this year's gone, that could be savage next year.
It could be, yeah, it may be. I mean, yeah, it's tough. I know the West Coast athletes have a hard time getting over, but yeah, I don't know. I just hope it's something. Like I said, that Pocono race was a lot of fun just because of how many people were there, and it's just exciting. And it's challenging, you know. It's when you have that, when you have, you know. There really was 15 people probably really competing, thinking they had a shot at the,
that's a lot.
You know, and that's a lot. And it just pushes you. But, you know, some of these other races we've had this year, there's really good top end, but we don't have the, you know, the 5 through 15 that we used to have that were all right there. I hope we get that back, because it's fun to race. It's fun to, watch, and I think it's motivating for the racers. And I think that's probably what you're seeing a little bit with some of the athletes, is, you know, obviously the opportunities aren't there, but you're losing some of the motivation of just being pushed by so many other guys.
It's difficult. It's almost like a catch 22, isn't it? Because if the athletes don't turn up, there's not the competition. So they don't turn up, the events aren't going to exist, because it's hard to exist because the money isn't coming in, and we're still not getting the sponsorship money that we need in the same way. You know, there are other sports that are better to sponsor, and it's like the events and the athletes almost need to work together, but they can't.
Oh, what a novel idea.
I know. Wouldn't it be crazy? Wouldn't that be crazy?
Oh, I'm pretty sure stuff would be a lot better if they took some athletes on board to, make some decisions. It's just solely because the athletes have been, you know, look at Ryan. Ryan's been involved in this for, 10, 11 years now, almost 10 years now, something like that. And the athletes at this point understand it better than anybody else, and they don't really take our opinion. And, you know, it just would be nice to see. And unfortunately, none of us have the motivation to, you know, apply for a job at Spartan or at Savage. You know, that's not our focus.
I mean, even if you work there, even if you work at any race brand, it doesn't mean that your voice is going to
be. Yeah.
So how would it look, out of interest? Because I always think it's interesting to ask people what, you know, how they think OCR could improve, what they want to see from it, because unless we do change things, it's not going to grow. It's going to disappear. So, I mean, that's a good theory. How would that look to you in an ideal world?
Ideal world, the athletes would get grouped together and put on a race. How would it work? It's just involving the athletes on a couple different ends. You know, one, building the courses and understanding. But like my brother knows, I mean, if anybody hired him to actually put on an event or consult with him on it, it'd be better than any other event. With obstacles, layouts, everything, just little things that for some reason the race directors don't think about, who are good, but they're too much on the plate. You know, having just like a round table of athletes. I know Spartans said they've done it in the past, but they really, really haven't. And then also bringing them in to try to negotiate and work out sponsors together. It worked for Spartans in the past to a certain extent. I mean, they botched just some things in the long run, but you know, they sold the athletes to all these big sponsors. You know, a lot of those athletes will tell you we're there in some of the meetings to sign some of these multi-million dollar deals. But then, you know, Spartan took the money and didn't, it's not that they didn't pay the athletes appropriately, but they didn't, I mean, some of the athletes a little bit, but they didn't work with the athletes to try to figure out, hey, how can we please the sponsors? Hey, how can we help you as an athlete, you know, get races or do the best, you know? And, you know, I think, you know, the racing was the biggest here when TV was involved and there was big sponsors, you know, for a multitude of different reasons. But I think, you know, that relationship could have been rekindled or can be rekindled. And I think for whatever reason, people have undervalued athletes. As far as you know, the way they motivate other people to race, create excitement around the brands. I'm not, yeah, it's tough because it's not, this is the best way to describe it. One of my early sponsor conversations ended up falling through because a lady left the company. But it was a waterproof tattoo company. They sponsor swimmers for the Olympics. And we had a proposal. We were at a big contract that was going to set up. And, you know, I always like to provide, you know, return on their investment and trying to figure out giving them, you know, tangible items that will be value to them. And the lady said to me, and I was the only Olympic athlete she wasn't going to sponsor. You know, she had no interest in getting a return or even me telling anybody I was sponsored by it. You know, their idea of sponsorship was what sponsorship is sponsoring an athlete to perform well and show up and, you know, challenge the limits of what the human body can do. And, you know, that was an extreme example, but I think we all, this ambassadorship kind of took role. And unfortunately, a lot of us, you know, almost like social media is like a job. Know, and that's like, it's not true sponsorship. And I don't really understand how that took such a left-hand turn. I mean, I guess everybody lost money in COVID, but it just would be nice to see a company or brand work together with the athletes to figure out a way, like, how can we get other companies, brand sponsors in here to support the sport and athletes so it supports the backbone of everything else they're trying to do, you know?
I mean, it makes sense to do that because say if it's a company supporting an athlete without necessarily shouting about a partnership, if that athlete becomes successful and gets more coverage, just by default, the company will get more coverage and will be associated with them. And it doesn't need to be shouted about. But I do think, oh, it could sound really bad here, but I'm going to say it. There's been a lot of situations where athletes have been kind of taken advantage of almost by companies by doing ambassadorships where they've given so much away for free.
Yeah, I'd say don't value
in return.
I am not one to shy away from that. You know, people, and this goes through people who signed the Spartan pro team baloney that wasn't really, you're not a pro athlete, you're not a pro team. And it boils my blood because I grew up in a small town, small area. And, you know, it wasn't cool to sell yourself out and to do like, I have a hard time representing sponsors because I always feel like part of me is, you know, I sold out for something, even though my relationships are not like that at all. And for whatever reason, people don't value themselves, their time at all. And that is, it's just they do it as a way to say, hey, look at me, like I'm sponsored or I'm this, I'm that. And that's like, it's not a very good way to go about life. And I know it's, I don't know, it's my opinion. It's kind of strong on that. But
the same way as people doing work for free because they want to be in a certain industry and taking it away from other people, and then it devalues the job role entirely. It's like, if it's if it's something that's worth money, people should be paid for it. If it's worth it for the, if a brand wants to be aligned with someone, they should facilitate that someone to do their job. And that it's just working a job.
I honestly don't put it on the brand, because heck, if you can get free work, why not?
Oh yeah.
You know, obviously it would be nice if they had some integrity, but you know,
when money's involved, don't be crazy.
Running a business about dollar signs, you know, and it's about profit loss, and that's the way it is. And, you know, I don't care what people say, it's still with Spartan, Savage, any of the race brands are, you know, you have to make money in order to, and to continue it. So, you know, I put it on the people who are willing to, you know, give that away for free. I don't think it's, I think that was a big part in, you know, some of the contracts going away. And, you know, you could say it's, I don't know, whole fair thing, not fair thing, but I don't know.
Have you heard about how the 3K is working in Europe?
No.
So originally for Europe, Spartan had the 3K series at several different locations.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of last minute, it got cancelled. And the conversation was kind of like, why are they cancelling these events last minute? What's going on? Why is this not, you know, there was all these conversations about what's going on with Spartan. And it was, you know, people didn't love it. Mm-hmm. And then what they've basically done is they've got one 3K event, which is happening in Madrid, the same weekend as OCRWC. And athletes across Europe have qualified for that event at a sprint race.
Mm. So
in order to take part in the 3K, they have to qualify. And then if you qualify, you can take part regardless. But then there are three sponsored teams with three team captains from that are, you know, a top athlete in Europe. I'm not sure how they chose those. And those captains then choose a team of 10 athletes. So then that team of 10 represent this brand, and they they don't compete together as a team, but they earn their points together as a team.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a really nice way of kind of bringing in partnerships and sponsorship into doing the event, and especially a first year where the format isn't sure and it's, you know, expensive to build and all of that. It gives a chance to grow.
Yeah, I've always said that. And, you know, I know Steve, a Spartan, keeps saying they're going to do that, but I guess maybe they're finally doing it.
The team in Europe is different to the US team. So they kind of got their own way of doing things. And,
well, good. They're smart for doing that, because it's a lot. I mean, Spartan did it with a Spartan pro team, but it was too big. You gotta segregate it. But it's, you know, I've talked to, we had conversations with Southwest Airlines about sponsorship years ago. And part of the reason they wouldn't sponsor us is because we were working on a team. We were from all over the country, and they only sponsor local teams that are together. And, you know, it's a lot easier to sell a team to a brand, hence what Spartan did in the past with all their sponsors in the Spartan Pro team, than individual, you know. And it's definitely I think it's the only way to move forward to give a lot of value. It's just getting the right sponsors involved, I guess. But, you know, team Honda, team Ford, team Gillette, you know, team Apple, you know,
that's exactly it. And then you get the united coverage of different athletes. It creates, it must be quite nice as an athlete to be chosen to be on X, Y, and Z's team and be competing alongside this athlete that you've, you know, that you might admire, or these guys that you get on well with. You know, it seems to create a nice feeling.
That'll be exciting. Like I said, I come from team sports, and I love that. I think bringing team camaraderie, whether it's, you know, and having a team is cool, because you're pulling for each other, just like cyclists do, or any other endurance sport where you're, you know, there's strategy involved in that too. You know, we talked about, you know, cutting people off and whatnot. And, you know, imagine if you had three teams competing with 10 athletes each, like what would I, it'd be a shit show for the good. Like, it'd be exciting.
You know? But thinking of strategies between, like, well, now we're racing against these people and this is, how do we, if there's strategy in racing by yourself, what strategies are going to be in a 3-round event with 9 other people?
The 3K strategizing for that is, I thought was interesting, and I realized it's just going as hard as you damn can, because there's always trying to, that race, I try to take it out easy, and everybody just went sprinting up the damn hill. I'm like, all right, well, I guess it's what we're doing. And everybody goes hard. And actually, I found that race, it pays off to make certain moves early, because you just get ahead of everybody, and then you can take it easy while everybody else is basically punching each other in the gut next to each other, trying to get through obstacles.
That's a pretty extreme review of the 3K. Maybe it'd be interesting to hear more about it from you, but I mean, that's a really funny way of putting it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's kind of cool about the three. It's a different format, and you know, if they can continue it. I mean, I don't think everybody loves it, but I mean, if it's worthwhile for the athletes, it definitely be fun to watch and compete. And I really would love to get over to Europe to race. I've said it the past 2 years. I don't like traveling.
You know,
I like traveling not for racing. I kite surf, so I love traveling beach and kiting with my wife. But most of the time in the racing, I'm traveling alone. And after losing my dad, it becomes a very emotional thing for me. And it just almost seems like a waste of time. You know, there's a lot as far as, you know, getting to the plane, getting there, showing up early to a race. You know, I love where I live, and I love doing other sports, and to, you know, the race is one day, but I'm spending 4 or 5 days getting there and whatnot. It's just, to me, I feel like I'm wasting, you know, days of my life to sit in a plane in an airport.
Yeah, that's really valid. I've always kind of, I find going to the airport really exciting, because it's kind of the potential of where I could go, but I can completely see it as someone that's kind of as active as you are. It can absolutely feel like a waste of time.
Also, I've had some really bad travel the past couple of years. Really, really bad travel. So that's played a big, big role in it. Flying is not easy these days.
I didn't realize, it's interesting you said about kite surfing, because when we were talking about sponsorships, I was thinking, I have a friend who's a kite surfer. And when I met him, he just explained his sponsorships, and like, it was so different to what was happening in OCR, because he basically gets paid by like O'Neill or whatever brands it is nowadays, just a salary to exist and kite surf. And then he's just, that's the brand he uses as well. And it's like, that's his job to do this thing that he loves for a company.
It is. And you see, and you know, I mean, I guess that's kind of what Spartan did. And you saw it, like, people posted all the time about OCR and racing and Spartan. Now you don't really see that as much. You know, and that's what I relate a lot of my sponsorship stuff to kiting, and their competition side of things, you know, of how it works. But then, you know, like, there was the big thing for, I don't know, that's still a thing, but where people like discredit people winning certain championships. And you know, who's the world champion? There's only, you know, like most other sports that are structured like ours, with different times, there's 17 world championships in kite surfing. There's different disciplines, venues, brands that put them on, and that's fine. And it's good to have multiple world champions in a sport, because everybody's searching that on social media or talking to their friends, you know, gets to say, I met a world champion, and it brings credit to the sport of, you know, there's a lot of really good people.
Do you not think it makes the sport confusing though?
Why?
Because I suppose if you're thinking,
we don't have one race we do. It's not like football or soccer or basketball where you're competing on the same field with the same exact rules against. Everything's so varied. There's different types of racing. I mean, dang, each Spartan World Championship is different. Each OCRWC World Championship is different. And like there's going to be multiple. And so there's no point in, discrediting, who's, good at that. It's the same thing with me and Sav. I'm really good at Savage. I'm not as great at, a lot of the Spartan races, because it's a different sport. And like, there's no point in discrediting someone who's good at Spartan or someone who's good at Savage. That's what they're good at. Too many.
I've always kind of seen, so like World's Toughest Mudder is a championship. Trifecta End is a championship. Spartan Worlds is a championship. OCRWC is a championship. And it's kind of like, yes, these are very distinct, even though two of them are still Spartan races. They're very distinct events with different athletes. The worry with the FISO event is it's really confusing. Like I cannot tell you the amount of people we get who contact us and tag us and things on Instagram. And like, it's a battle between, like, I had to message someone the other day, like, I've been trying to contact you about this. I'm like, I'm really sorry. We're not the right brand. I can't help you. And I'm concerned that people are going to turn up to the wrong event and if the athletes are confused about it, like, I'm cool with different events and there's plenty of space. I mean, how many billions of people exist? We don't need to compete for the same people taking part, but we also don't need to muddy the water so much.
Yeah, no, you have a good valid point with that. That's a tough thing right now is there's no, I don't, nobody knows where to compete right now.
The Wild West of OCR at the moment.
It really is. Like, I mean, it sounds like a lot of the Europeans are going to be at FISO. It sounds like that contingent is pretty competitive. Are the Russian athletes going
to Belgium?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't actually really know much about that event. I don't think there's a huge field. I think they're quite limited and they're quite strict on who can take part and who can qualify. And you have to be part of a federation, etc. Yep. I know there are Russian athletes who have been trying to get to the US for OCRWC. And the thing is, they're fantastic athletes. And with all the stuff going on, it's kind of like, well, they should get a chance to still, it's not their fault. I feel a lot of sympathy for the individual humans because why shouldn't they get to do things?
They're people. I mean, they're not running the country.
They're not.
But they're regular people,
And they run the races as well. I don't actually know about, I don't know about any Russians going to Belgium. I mean, I hope so. I hope they're there because there is some fantastic competition in Europe. You should go for like the Trifecta weekend or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to make it a point next year to figure. I was trying to go to the European champs this year. To get ready for FISO and OCRWC when I was still healthy. But they wouldn't let me compete at all. I just figured I wouldn't qualify for prize purse or something, but they wouldn't even let me in the competitive waves.
Aren't you part of USOCR or whatever? Are you not part of the team?
I am, but apparently the US isn't, like, that federation isn't including in.
Oh, because it's European championships.
I understand it, but
I mean, that sucks, but I do. What about take part in the Spartan European championships?
Well, that's like in the past, like, if an athlete, I think Johnny Lunalina did this years ago in Dora, he podium in their championship. I think it was the European championship at the time. And he got the podium, but they just wouldn't pay him the prize purse. Yeah, I don't know.
Go for the Trifecta weekend. It's so much fun in Greece. Like,
I've heard it's a lot of
great competition.
Yeah,
but Europe is good. There is some really fierce competition going on in Europe, and there are some athletes I wish we could get out to Worlds, and I don't know how, because I would love to see everyone competing together and see what would happen.
I know. It would be lovely to see everybody compete together.
But unless one of us wins the lottery and has a couple of million pounds to spend to get everyone in one place, I don't think it's going to happen.
I have faith it will happen at some point,
I hope so.
next year. You know, I don't know. I think the athletes can get together and figure something out at some point. I've tried year in and year out, to try to bring them together and focus on this or that. And it's an individual sport and it's hard. But my hope is at this point, like this year, like things are so upside down that maybe people finally realize, like, we gotta figure it out ourselves.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what next year brings. You know, what's I don't know what the plan is with the 3K next year for Spartan.
There's major big changes that are for the better.
No
I
idea
don't
what
know.
they are.
The 3K, I was supposed to have a call with somebody, but I didn't, and so I don't have no idea. I just heard it's completely different. Maybe it's a team thing that they're doing in
That'd be
Europe.
cool.
That would be awesome. I think that would be phenomenal.
And then let's see. Hopefully, FISO is an excellent weekend for people. I don't know where it's being held next year, so I don't know if that's going to make a difference. You know, there were the two European champs, the FISO and the Spartan ones, same weekend this year, which
Yeah, that's crazy.
that was just poor scheduling
Yeah.
again. But you know, if that doesn't happen next year, that means there can be, you know, better competition rather than. So let's see. Hopefully next year, people. Everything, events and athletes all kind of get a grip and decide what the good thing is and start. I don't know. I just want it to get better. I love it. And I can see, you know, we're kind of at a crossroads. It could go downhill or it could go uphill. And
Yeah, and I feel real bad because we're at a point now where young kids who saw the sport, whether their parents did it or not, are racing. And like there's a kid, Noah, that we race with at the Savage Race. Who the kid is, he's only 18
incredible.
or 18 years old, and he's almost as fast as us, and he's better at obstacles than all of us.
Incredible.
Yeah, like, he did good at OCRWC the year before too, actually. I think he was, I don't know if it was 15 or top 10 or something, like, it did really well. But I mean, even guys like Rylan, who are new to the sport, and Hawk is, Hawk fits in the category of watching the sport when he's younger. I just feel bad for him because they love it, but there's nowhere for them to take it right now,
Not
you know,
like
besides like a side hobby that they really like to do and compete. Like, you're not going to see, that same level of, I mean, that was the beauty of the Spartan Pro Team, is that you had athletes racing the series full time and giving everything they had to prepare for these races. And it showed, like, the competition was really exciting to watch. And we have better athletes now. I mean, Rylan's far more talented than almost any of us were. So is Hawk and a lot of these younger kids. But, even VJ, even though VJ's been along, like, he's ridiculously talented. He's young, but where is he going to go with it at this point, you
I
know?
totally get it. And then to invest so much of your life to focus on one thing,
Yeah.
but the sport can't expect there to be interest if the athletes aren't world level athletes, and the athletes can't be world level athletes if they're not able to have the time to focus on the sport. They're being expected to keep themselves alive and pay the bills and compete at a really high level. It's difficult.
You need stars. You need stars for any sport to survive. It's the way it goes. Even if it's not a paid sport. Like, how many people watched swimming before Michael Phelps started, dominating? That was a big motivator. Usain Bolt. I mean, I know the 400 meters are 400 meter, what he races, popular anyways, but he brings a lot of attention to it. You get stars in sports. It's that's what I think brings the most attention, and they're here. They need to be provided the opportunity. So
Yeah,
I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I hate that we just sit here and talking about what could or couldn't be, but I guess we nice thing is we got some really exciting championships coming up this fall.
Yeah, it's championship season is going to be good.
It will be. It will be. And I think the live feeds will be good at OCRWC. They'll be good at Spartan and Savage, and World's Toughest Mudder. And I think, you know, you're doing a great job. And that's, I give a lot of credit for the people who are sticking in with the media, just trying to continue to tell it, because they can forget that, like, a lot of the podcasts and the social media channels, I mean, they're the reason why there was excitement, because it was broadcast.
Yeah. And, you know, from day dot when I got into the sport, and I mean, we were talking about Margaret the other day and the amount of work she put in, and the amount, you know, she was, yeah, kind of a pioneer in the kind of coverage she was doing a long time ago. But yeah, it is hard as well. And then, yeah, there's criticism sometimes about the quality of coverage. You're like, well, it's really expensive to do and money doesn't exist. So, but thank you, because, yeah, there are a lot of people who put in a lot of work to try and do it, and hopefully it can keep growing as well. And yeah, it's tricky. Yeah. But at some point, people need to, yeah. People need to see something back for it, don't they? So let's hope we're going that way.
I have faith.
Good. Amazing. Right. Well, I'll let you carry on with your day. I appreciate talking to you. It's been nice to finally catch up and kind of get a bit of one-on-one rather than just seeing you from behind as you're running away at top speeds. But
no, I see you at in Florida. That'll be fun. It was really awesome when Jason was at the race in Ohio. It was cool having the booth and cameras there, and made it exciting for the athletes, and I think it provides some good content for everybody too.
It's good fun. It makes it just feel more fun for everyone, and with it being the final race of the series and we've done the whole series, yeah, encourage people to go. It's, and you know, a great celebration of the sport and athletes. Let's make it good fun. Awesome. Right, well, I will see you there. Have a wonderful rest of the day, and good luck with the hammy and everything that you're doing up till then.
Appreciate it. Thanks for the chat.